This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mick Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mick Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mick Delivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and this is our View of the Opposition show as I talk to someone who supports Fulham's opposition for the upcoming match. In this episode, I'll be talking to Larry Guinan, who is an Arsenal supporter. He's on to give us the Arsenal perspective for this upcoming match on New Year's Day. Larry, you were on a couple months ago. Thank you so much for joining me once again.
Yeah, glad to be here, Russ. Had fun.
Well, it was great having you on back then. Unfortunately, the result was terrible for Fulham. We'll talk a little bit about that because we want your thoughts on that in just a bit. But I look forward to this upcoming match, and there's some interesting situations going into it, injury-related, actually, for both sides. So we'll talk about that. But before we do that, let's start from the top. Let's go back. Let's talk about after the Fulham match for Arsenal and talk about your season after that. But don't include the Liverpool match because we'll talk about that separately.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a weird start to the season a little bit for Arsenal. I think I recall at the time of the Fulham game, I'd been talking about how Arsenal had been winning and getting pretty decent results, but not necessarily playing all that well. And that really continued for a long time. They had a very long unbeaten streak, 20-something games in all competitions. But there are a lot of those games where they didn't necessarily play all that well. And it always felt like a little bit of a fragile streak that couldn't really stand for, it felt weird that it continued for as long as it did because, there were games where they looked quite decent and, everything else. But for the most part, it was always very patchy that they'd be able to put some stuff together for a few minutes at a time or for one or two moves at a time, enough to get a couple of goals and win the games. But they always looked quite fragile. Eventually that unbeaten streak came to an end against Southampton. But, I think the kind of games before that are sort of illustrative of kind of what I'm talking about because, they beat Tottenham in the North London Derby and they were really good in that game. They looked fragile at the back, like they have done all season, but they actually probably dominated possession quite a bit more than they had tended to do, even against teams not nearly as good as Tottenham. But they didn't dominate possession for the entire game. Tottenham were too good for that. But they were able to control it and were fully deserving 4-2 winners in that game. They had gone in or they had gone 2-1 down and it felt a little bit like robbery at that point. But really fought back well and deservedly ran out winners in that game. And then the very next game, they went up to Old Trafford and drew 2-2 with Manchester United. And that really felt like 2 points dropped because both teams were terrible. And it's just, at the moment, or for the last few years, it's just felt like any trip to Old Trafford for Arsenal is they can't seem to put a performance together up there, and that was kind of the case there. They a couple of horrible defensive mistakes, and it was just a couple of points left slip. You know, Man United are prior to Mourinho's been firing, so
right.
You know, prior to their last little rebound under Solskjaer, you know, they were awful, we were awful, and really it was kind of an embarrassment, the whole thing. Like for two teams that had kind of fallen from prior heights, that game was an illustration of how far really away from the top of the table that they both are. So, you know, and then, you know, a couple of games later, you know, the Chickens came home to roost against Southampton, where right. they finally got beaten. So, you know, it's been a weird start to the season. You know, the results have been a lot better for the most part than I think a lot of Arsenal fans would have expected going into the system or into the season. It is a transition year, obviously, after the Wenger era. But, you know, it's hard to kind of point at a lot of concrete things that have said, oh, well, this is much better now. There are certainly some things that have changed, but, you know, the defense, most critically, doesn't seem like it's rebounded to where we need it to be yet. You know, we'll see how that goes. That will take time, obviously.
Okay, very good. And we're going to talk about the Liverpool match in just a second. But before, I want to go back to you because you talked about this, and it will also go to when we talk about the first time the teams played, Fulham and Arsenal. I understand where you're going on them being fragile defensively and that they're vulnerable, but you have the quality, and I still see that. And Aubameyang, it just reeks of quality. So with you trying to get to where you want to be, this is actually a good start. I understand what you're talking about. Maybe the results are better than what you thought they were, but I think eventually the performances will be better to match up with what you're getting points-wise. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, well, I hope that's the case. I hope it doesn't kind of go the other way. You know, and certainly at the moment,
sure.
It's going a little bit more the other way. I mean, I think, you know, it's clear Arsenal have a lot of quality players. I mean,
absolutely.
Aubameyang and Lacazette, you know, and the supporting cast kind of in behind. There are a lot of game breakers there. And you know, like I said, you only need guys like that to be able to put put it together a couple of times in a game. And like Aubameyang's goals to shots ratio or goals to chances ratio or whatever, you know, whichever one of those kind of advanced stats you want to kind of measure, it's off the charts. Like he really, you know, and it's weird because occasionally he'll miss like a stone cold sitter. But like generally, if he gets the chance, he takes it. Like his percentage wise in that regard is right up there with anyone in Europe. Like he really is lethal. He's top class in that regard. And you know, and that's the thing. I mean, if because the performances have been off a slight bit, like if Aubameyang slips from that height that he's at, it actually would have quite a significant effect on the results, because if he doesn't keep that efficiency in the chances, then you know we'll kind of see that the results will slip because the performances haven't been creating a sheer number of chances. We've just been really good at taking the ones we create for the most part. So
I understand that you know, and again going to the full match, you were just lethal. We're talking about Lacazette and Aubameyang.
yeah, absolutely. And that was kind of a, you know, because I think I recall, was that 1-1 at halftime? And I think Fulham were pretty decent money, I think, in the first half for it. But then, yeah, like Arsenal's quality just kind of came out in that second half.
Yeah, took over.
There was that one amazing goal where they broke on the counter-attack from right near their own end line, and Ramsey had to finish in touch to it. It was one of the goals of the season. So that's the quality they can put together, you know. But unfortunately, what they haven't been able to put together is just the kind of control of games, like being able to just, okay, we've got a goal or we've got two goals. Let's just kind of dominate now. Let's be boring and just, you know, dominate the possession and you know, see it out, and you know, maybe get another goal or two if you can. But that there's no control of games in that regard.
Okay, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because it sounds like obviously you have the finishers. You're just looking for a complete performance.
Yeah,
is that basically where you're going, Larry?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's just, like I said, the lack of control, I think, is the key thing. You know, the midfield has generally not been able to own that area for large periods of games. So that's one of the key areas. And of course, you know, the defenders have been a shambles as well. So, you know, the combination of those two things is where the fragility comes in.
Okay, excellent. All right. We do have to talk about the Liverpool match. I watched parts.
Do we have to?
Briefly. How about briefly?
That's all right. It'll be good therapy.
Give me your thoughts about this.
I was kind of fearing that something like this might happen coming into that game, given how they've been going in the few games prior. You know, like, again, it's really just down to the lack of kind of cohesion in that defense and individual errors and, you know, the errors as a group. You know, it's kind of like the defense has kind of gotten worse as the season has gone on, and that's been partially down to I think some personnel issues. So they've had a lot of injuries. Holding is out for the season, which is a huge blow because he has been excellent when he's played. He really had earned himself a first team spot. And, you know, both the first choice fullbacks are out. We've learned that there are replacements. Lick Steiner is really out of his depth. We've learned as the season has gone on. And Kolasinac, you know, he's a good wing back. He's barely mediocre as a fullback. You know, then, you know, we've had to chop and change at the centre-back positions. And, you know, so a lot of those chickens came home to roost. And another factor against Liverpool, I think, was very disappointingly, Lucas Torreira did not have a good game. And he really has been the bright spot.
He's the one
of the
season. You talked a great deal about the first time we talked.
And he's really been excellent all season. And he's very quickly became a fan favourite amongst Arsenal fans. You know, he was really kind of what we had been looking for in terms of that midfield, defensive midfielder, a little kind of terrier in the middle of the field who's going to make interceptions and make challenges and get in people's faces. But yeah, against Liverpool, it was his worst performance of the season. He got turned a number of times just way too easily, and a couple of those instances led to goals. You know, so he was not at his best, and you know, maybe he needs a rest because we've been very reliant on him, and he's had an awful lot of work to do trying to protect that back line. I don't know if he's maybe just a bit worn out coming from Serie A. He may not be used to the relentlessness, especially over the Christmas period. I don't know. I'm trying to make excuses for him because I like him so much, and all Arsenal fans do. He really has been excellent, and he's a very easy player to like when you see him play. But he was not good against Liverpool, and you know, the defenders just again were complete shambles, individual errors, just a lot of poor things kind of happening there. So our worst fears kind of came to light there against Liverpool, and really it just kind of shows again, you know, the gap that Arsenal need to bridge to that level, and how far off the top they are. And you know, that's okay. It's a reality check. You know, they've got a gap now up to the Champions League places, and now Manchester United are recovering behind them. So they're going to be in that competition, or in the fight for that again, whereas we thought maybe they were going to be out of it. But, you know, they've got to rebuild now because that game just, you know. And again, you know, the thing is, even in that 5-1 pasting, Arsenal did have some chances. Like, even beyond the goal that they scored, to go ahead, Aubameyang missed a good chance, and there were a couple of other decent chances. You know, they were able to create some chances, and they weren't as efficient as they had been in taking those, and combined that with the day the defense was having, and you know, that's the result you're going to get.
Okay, I wanted to go right back to you real quick, because you were talking about the fullbacks, and the fullbacks, if I can remember correctly, were key against Fulham, and now you're telling me that could be an issue here for Arsenal, injury related. So let's talk about that, because if I remember correctly, you get a lot of your width from these fullbacks.
Yeah, they do. So, and you know, know. So he's been playing a lot lately with sort of a tree at the back, so with wing backs essentially.
Right.
It's not clear whether it's because Emery prefers that system or if it's because Holding is out and some of the other first choice centre backs have been out. He thinks the others aren't good enough to play as a two, and so he needs the security of a three. There's a suspicion that that's been the case. It's because he thinks that he needs the security of a three because there isn't, you know. But we've had that's kind of resulted in Granit Xhaka playing at centre back a couple of times, which
right.
is not confidence inspiring for anyone. But assuming that that's going to be the case, that he's going to play as wing back. So yeah,
right,
all the width really.
I meant as wing backs, but go ahead.
Yeah. All the width will kind of come from them. Even if they are playing as a four, they'll still get forward quite a lot. But
sure.
Yeah, so I mean, Arsenal's two best fullbacks on either side are Nacho Monreal and Hector Bellerin. And, you know, they brought in Stefan Lichtsteiner for free from Juventus at the start of the year to be competition for Bellerin that he hadn't had. And the hope was, it was like, oh, well, this is, you know, he's free and he's very experienced. He'll give Bellerin a run for his money, and maybe Bellerin, who's kind of had, a slump a little bit. He sort of flatlined after the start of his career. He hadn't really kind of kicked on. And the hope was that he would kind of learn some stuff from Lichtsteiner and kind of kick on. And he has, in fairness, Bellerin has been very good this season. But when Lichtsteiner has had to play, the more he's had to play, the more exposed he's gotten. Like, really,
okay.
He just, age, I think, has caught up with him. I just don't think he's cut out for it at this level anymore. So, you know, I don't see him really having a future at Arsenal beyond. I don't know if he's on a 1 year or a 2 year contract, but, you know, whenever. I'd be surprised if he's there after this year because he really has shown he's not capable at this level. So, Ainsley Maitland-Niles played at wing back against Liverpool as they were playing three at the back, and Lichtsteiner was playing as a centre back. But again, whether it's a centre back or full back, Lichtsteiner is showing he's not good out. Maitland-Niles is a young player and he's really more of a midfielder, but he has filled in a lot at both full back positions. Bellerin and Monreal, I think, are both day to day as far as being ready for the Fulham game.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I think, but you know, Monreal's been out for longer, I think, so I'd say there's more chance of Bellerin playing than Monreal. And plus, if Glasnach is fit, he's not as bad, let's say, as Lichtsteiner or whatever. So there's more chance he might have some faith in Glasnach if he's playing as a wing back. So we'll see how. You know, the fitness stacks up and who's available. I haven't actually had the chance to see what the early news is on that, but I think that will be key.
Right.
I'd be much happier if either or both of Bellerin or Monreal are playing versus either the other two.
That's why I wanted to ask you, any other injury concerns going into the match?
So those two are probably the most key ones. I mean, obviously, Danny Welbeck is out for the season. Rob Holding is out for the season. That's a big loss. Henrik Mkhitaryan is out, and he's probably not going to be back for a few weeks. There are a few others that I think had some knocks. Like, Kolasinac has struggled to stay fit for more than two games at a time. I don't think I saw anything about him being hurt, but he usually is. And of course, Ozil, who knows what's going on with Ozil. I mean, he officially, I think he had a knock for the Liverpool game. Officially, he's had a knock for a lot of games this season. But, you know, the suspicion is that that's really kind of a cover story to avoid, you know, blowing up the fact that it seems like Emery just does not have faith in Mesut Ozil and that the two really are not kind of getting along as far as the role, whatever role Ozil has in Emery's team. So I think a lot of these injuries, I suspect, are kind of phantom and really just cover stories.
Okay.
So, you know, whether he is available for Fulham, I don't know. And if he is available, whether he'll play, you know, again, I really don't know. But, you know, that's something that has come to a head as well.
Okay, very good. Key players, I look at two, but it could be very different from you. I have to look at Aubameyang and Lacazette because they scare the heck out of me. And they're, like we talked about earlier, lethal. But would that be where you would go as key players for Arsenal against Fulham, or is there another player or players that you think need to play well to get all 3 points?
Yeah, no, for sure. Aubameyang, Lacazette, you know, I don't know if he'll play both. Well, I mean, being at home, I suspect he probably will, you know, play both. You know, we've seen at times that he'll just play one up front and start. Usually it's been Lacazette on the bench. He may play both at home against Fulham. And for sure, you know, that's where we expect the goals to come from. You know, we haven't actually been getting really enough goals from other parts of the team. For the most part, a couple of others have chipped in, but some of, you know, there are others, you know, Iwobi has played a lot, but still is not contributing enough end product. Mkhitaryan has been mediocre kind of for the most part of the season when he has played. You know, he's another who's not, you know, living up to his abilities. But, you know, definitely there are, if those two don't score the goals, then Arsenal will struggle a little bit because they're not quite getting enough from other areas. So those will be key, you know, whichever one or both of them start. The other one I'd mention as a key player is Lucas Torreira.
Yes.
Just because, you know, as far as being able to kind of break up play and provide cover for that defence, he has been excellent for the most part of the season in spite of having a poor game against Liverpool. Like I said, I don't know if maybe he will end up getting rested, you know, if that's what he needs, but if he plays, you know, he'll be key as well.
Okay. What about the Aaron Ramsey situation? We talked about this the first time we talked.
So Arsenal withdrew the contract offer to Ramsey, so he is free to leave at the end of the season, and he's free to talk to other teams in January. There's been some reports that Juventus are interested, that Paris Saint-Germain are interested, maybe some others. There's been some talk that a couple of teams might even be willing to pay a transfer fee to take him in January, which would not be his full value, given that he's free. There's talk of, you know, 10 to 20 million, which would be a steal, but I suppose they'd be paying that to avoid you know, a race in the summer. So he's still been getting played quite a bit. I think he was captain against Liverpool the other day.
Okay.
So the manager still has, and he is one of the club captains. I think Arsenal had like five captains.
I'm a big fan of his, Larry, just so you know.
Yeah, I mean, so am I. I think it's a real shame, you know, the way things have kind of broken out. And really, it's his whole situation has been poorly managed by the club. To allow a player of Ramsey's capability and of his ability to run down his contract and get to a situation where he's likely to leave on a free in the end of the season, like, it's malpractice, basically, is what it is. I mean, it really reflects poorly on the prior kind of administration that it was allowed to happen. And they had made a contract offer to him, and it was apparently for a lot of money, and Ramsey had sort of been holding out. So they did make an offer to him, and it was apparently very generous, and he was holding out. So then they just withdrew it and said, okay, you know, you didn't accept their offer. Okay, we're done. So that's kind of the situation at the moment. I think Ramsey wanted to stay. He just basically wanted more money than the club had offered. But, you know, it shouldn't have been allowed to happen. Like, really, okay. they should have sold him last summer or the summer before, because really this has been brewing for quite a while, and they've been trying to get that deal done for quite a while. To not get, you know, at least 30 or 40 or 50 million for him, like, depending on how late you sold him, is really poor, because Arsenal
can't. Totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it's worth that.
I'm not gonna sit here and kind of play the poor mouse against the Fulham fan in terms of Arsenal's financial situation. I understand that,
right,
relatively speaking, Arsenal are a rich club, but by the same token, if they want the chance for the title and if they want to make the Champions League, they can't afford to let 40 or 50 million go astray.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, they're not Manchester City. They can't make 40 or 50 million pound mistakes. Like, if Man City spend 50 million quid on a player and it doesn't work out, they'll just shrug their shoulders and go buy another one. It doesn't matter to them. But, like, if Arsenal make that kind of investment, they have to get it right.
Yeah.
And so the Ozil situations and the Ramsey situations are really, like, big anchors around this team's neck right now, because there's so much money had been invested or is lost, you know, in both of those guys, that really, you know, that's you know, it's poor that the club allowed that situation, both those situations, to get to where they are. You know, it remains to be seen, because Barroso, I mean, he, if it's the case that Emery doesn't trust Ozil and, you know, he's going to have to leave, well, that's fine, but there aren't that many suitors out there for him. Again, you know, I think Juventus might be the one who might come in for Ozil because Ronaldo loves playing with him and who might have the money to make it. But I don't think there's going to be a horse race to spend 50 million quid on Mesut Ozil, because he's on like 300 grand a week, and most teams just, there are only a short list of teams that can pay that money, and I don't know that most of those teams are in for a player like Ozil. So, you know, it's kind of a tough spot in that regard. But yeah, I mean, Ramsey himself, I mean, he's, I like him too, but you know, it's one of those things where whatever system we've been playing, he's kind of struggled to find a spot. That was kind of the case with Wenger as well. I think he is one of those players that it's tough to fit into a lot of systems, you know, because as good as he is kind of going forward, you almost have to kind of construct a team around him and allow for the fact that he's going to be kind of charging forward at his best. Sure. He's going to be charging forward and making your goals, and occasionally that's going to leave a gap kind of here and there. Right. And so if you're unwilling to do that, then, you know, it's tough to fit him into another system. I mean, he has enough quality that he'll still be a contributor, don't get me wrong. But yeah, it seems like, you know, his days are coming to an end as well as an Arsenal player.
Well, that's unfortunate. He actually scored a fantastic goal against Fulham.
Yeah.
I hate to mention that he did. But that's why I kind of wanted to bring up, because I'm a fan of his and I remember the goal, but I've followed him for a long time. I was just curious if there was any updates, so thank you for going there. Quickly, let's talk about Fulham. I want your thoughts about them. Obviously, things have changed now under Claudio Ranieri. I can tell you this, that the possession-based style is completely gone. That is a thing of the past that we had under Slavisa Jokanovic. It now is counterattacking. The last three matches we played with three center backs, basically five at the back. If I'm being completely honest, the wingbacks really haven't gotten forward that much. They have a little bit, but they've been more defensive in shape, tougher to break down, and I expect that against Arsenal. But what are your thoughts about Fulham? And also, is there a player that concerns you from Fulham?
I've seen a little bit. I haven't seen the full last two games, but I've seen chunks of the last two games against Huddersfield and Wolverhampton near the end of both games. It seems kind of what you're describing sort of seemed to kind of match the little pieces I saw in that, you know, they were giving up a lot of possession against Wolves and then actually kind of went ahead. And that sort of felt like 2 points dropped when they gave up that lead. And then even against Huddersfield as well, it seemed like Huddersfield were a little bit more on top, at least in the little bit that I saw of that game. But Fulham obviously came out with the win. So, they looked like they've, shored stuff up a little bit, under Ranieri for sure. It seems like scoring goals is obviously, I think, the toughest part that they're sort of struggling with at the moment. They're not a free scoring team. So as long as you can kind of get a couple, you feel like you should be okay.
But depending on Mitrovic right now.
Which, I mean, and Mitrovic is decent, but it's a lot of weight on his shoulders. It's tough to kind of live or die, I think, by a player like Mitrovic, I think, because, I mean, he's, is he going to score enough goals? I think, it remains to be seen. So it'll be I think, I don't know where what your take kind of is from now, but to me, it sort of looks like it's going to be a bit of a grind for Fulham from here to the end of the season.
Oh, absolutely.
It looks like you're going to have a lot of close results. Like, you're not going to have too many kind of comfortable wins between here and the end of the season. There'll be a lot of 1-0
Barry,
or 2-1s or whatever.
I completely
else.
Agree with you. It's funny because my co-host Emilio Danella said that he believes that Ranieri was brought in to win 1-0, 2-1. And that's kind of what we're getting. Everything's going to be tighter at the back, and they're going to try to beat you on the counter. And it's a complete 180 from what Fulham were before. You know, the many fans love the free flow in football, including myself, but it wasn't getting the results that they needed. So now we've gone in the opposite direction. There has to be a middle ground, and I hope they find that middle ground, because they have the ability to score goals. They do, but I think that most of the concentration right now has been defensively, and my hope that it eventually offensively catches up to what they've done with the foundation defensively, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, for sure. And generally, that's always been the way, unless you're Arsenal, that's always been the way you build a team, right? Is you get the defensive foundation right, and you sort of add on top of that. Arsenal have tended to kind of go in the opposite direction with that. So not always with positive results. So, I mean, it looks like, you know, he's doing what's necessary there, right? I mean, they weren't headed in the right direction. They were far too leaky and not scoring enough, and now at least they're not leaking as many, even if the scoring is continuing to be a challenge. But you know,
they're not as attractive to watch, I'll tell you that, but I actually appreciate what they're trying to do.
So I mean it'll be interesting. I think, I mean, I expect in that regard then that they're going to come to Arsenal and probably sit and you know, look to break on a counter-attack, which is a perfectly valid tactic against Arsenal. They've looked vulnerable on the counter-attack all season. So I think the likes of, you know, if they can look to free up the likes of Sessegnon or whoever else herring down on the counter-attack, you know, that will be, you know, where they will look to probably do some damage. So, you know, there'll be a lot of, you know, there'll be, Arsenal will need to be careful, I think, you know, because I expect that they'll probably will be kind of dominating the game in terms of the attack, and just they'll have to be careful of getting caught on the counter. So, you know, that would be the big thing, I think, that will decide the game.
Okay, very good. Just want to mention that Arsenal Loney has been very good for Fulham recently. Callum Chambers playing as a defensive midfielder. Unfortunately for me, he will not be in this match, and that is a blow. I'm not going to lie to you. That actually affects Fulham, and they have an injury to Alfie Mawson, who's really emerged as their main center back, as the leader back there. He looks like will not be involved. I don't have any more information, but we are led to believe that it's highly unlikely that Alfie Mawson will be involved in this match. So those are two significant losses for Fulham. But like you mentioned, you have injuries and situations that you're dealing with as well. So we'll see how that all plays out. But Larry, listen, thank you for doing this. But before we go, we have to go and get your prediction, and then I'll share mine as well.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that, you know, we'll have a bit of a bounce back game for Arsenal here. I do think they should have enough quality, you know, to beat Fulham at home. I think, you know, for an Arsenal team, I think failing to beat Fulham at home would not be a good result. So, you know, I'm going to go 3-1.
Okay.
You know, I don't expect a clean sheet, because those are like hen's teeth for this team. But hopefully they'll have enough going up the other end to counterbalance whatever Fulham can do.
Okay, very good. I'm going with an Arsenal victory as well, but I'm actually going to go with 2-0. I think you're going to get the clean sheet, but I think Fulham are going to be a little bit tougher to break down. That's why I'm only going with 2 goals, but we'll see. You could be very right at 3-1, but I'm going to say that it would be a disappointment to give up 3 goals, even though Arsenal obviously can score 3 goals. I'm going to go 2-0 to Arsenal, and we'll see what happens. And hopefully I'm wrong, and maybe Fulham pull off some kind of upset and get a result, which would be incredible for us, but it would be a major disappointment for you, Larry. All right, listen. Thank you so much for doing this for a second time. I really appreciate it, Larry.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime, Russ.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that is going to wrap up this episode of Cottage Talk. For my guest, Larry Gannon, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are on. You've got your McDougal share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.